Hey, Winnipeg, it's freezing there, isn't it? It's freezing here. That's because you're there. Merry Christmas from me. I'm Robin Hitchcock, and I am miles away, and you're under the snow and the mistletoe and the deep love of each other with the Twang Trust, who love you deeply on CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
Tell my little one when she says she wants a white Christmas. To say when she asks my way, why does parents leave him home alone? Do they not love him? What's a man to do as the tears roll down? As Frosty's face melts into the ground. Tell my baby girl when she asks, is mom coming back?
Okay, I want a new CD player for Christmas. I just decided. Let's try this other one. That was The Ornaments. Still, pretty devastating. So, before you go and impale yourself on a sharpened candy cane, don't worry, because we actually have The Ornaments calling in any moment. In fact, this may be them right now. Is this you, Ornaments?
This is Mike. I gotta connect Lance. Let me give this a shot.
Hey, Mike. Mike from The Ornaments. We're trying to get an interstate connection
going
on.
Message. Merging call.
it's their very first party line ever on the Twang Trust. This is very exciting. It's a new kind of technological sorcery here that only happens at Christmas.
Lance, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. I think we've connected.
Lance Mike are on the Twang Trust Christmas juggernaut. This is so exciting.
It is. Are we caller number 6? Do we win the ornament swag?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be on your way. You'll have it by Easter for sure.
I want an ornament 7-inch from their first release. They don't have any more.
That's right. I'm going to ask you about that one. Yeah.
Okay. I still have a little stack of them. I don't know about you, Mike.
Oh, I've sold them all on eBay. Thanks for having us on. This is a pleasure. It's not often these days that people look forward to phone calls, but I've been looking forward to this phone call all week. It's a spendy one.
Well,
calling from another country, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, and we're hearing two different states. Is that right?
Yeah, you're. Yeah, I'm in Minneapolis. Where are you at?
And I'm in Madison, but I think we're approximately not all that far apart collectively. Like, Winnipeg is not, is closer than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not that far.
I'm closer to Winnipeg than Lance is, than I am to Lance, actually.
Yeah, I've only been to Madison once, but we did drive there. I went there in 1985 to see REM play the UW Stock Pavilion.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I've been to Minneapolis 1,000 times, and I miss it like crazy. I'm hoping to get down there in February, but God knows the world could end by then, so who knows?
Right.
Who knows what'll be left.
So anyways, anybody listening out there knows that I've all of a sudden become infatuated with these guys known as the Ornaments. And it's a wonderful thing. I discovered you guys through some kind of a Facebook dude who goes by the name of Christmas Underground. And I'd never heard of you before, but you've been at this for, I guess, 8 years now, doing one song a year.
Yeah, we've been, Lance and I have been making music together for, it's going on 12 years at this
12
point.
12 years, yeah. We just played this game the other day, and unfortunately, I think that the brandy old fashioned maybe washed it all back out of the.
Yeah, let's say 12 years.
But
we've been making. We played in bands together. Lance is an audio engineer. He's got a studio in Madison, and also plays music as well. And we connected early on when I first moved to Madison, and played music and recorded music together. And it was around the time that I was leaving Madison to just make a huge, huge life switch, moving to Minneapolis, going way far away.
Mm.
And we kind of wanted to devise a way to, see each other annually. And, our friendship, our relationship is based on playing music and making music. So, there's no better way to make music together at least once a year than starting an annual alternative Christmas band.
Wow. So, that's the thing. Like, Christmas music in general is such a contentious thing. When you tell somebody that you're in a band that only plays Christmas songs, how often is the response, "I hate Christmas music"?
That's a fair question.
Because it's a way that we figured out to get both people to hate us. Because the people that love Christmas music hate the Ornaments, and the people that hate Christmas music won't listen to us anyway.
Exactly, yeah. But,
we backed ourselves into a corner. People will then laugh. If they're like, "Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing musically these days?" And it's like, "Well, I'm kind of all in on this Christmas band."
Yeah.
and it's June,
they say, "Cool, where are you playing?" And we'll be like, "We don't.
We play on the internet." but then at the same time, you flip a link over or something come November or December, and they start to be like, "Oh, okay, so it's not it's not, you're not, you guys aren't doing Michael Bublé stuff. It's different.
Yeah. Now, clearly the dark edge of your songs is what endears you to your fans, but it's bound to create discourse with the, you know, yeah, those Christmas music muggles of the world. You know, you're bound to hear all the time, I'm thinking comments like, what kind of monsters are you? You know, you have people getting eaten by bears and dying in plane crashes. Like, what's that got to do with Christmas?
You know, I listened to our back catalog in kind of preparation, I think, for the show today, and it occurred to me that even though, like, it feels kind of dark, it isn't really as dark as it feels on the surface. You know, the thing I think is that Mike writes all the lyrics, and essentially each song is a very humanist story told through the lens of Christmas. And even though sometimes the stories are sad or sometimes the stories are kind of cynical or whatever, they're always very human stories about human feeling people and human feeling circumstances. And if you really like approach, I think, our music with an open heart, there's actually a really, they're very tender inside story that's happening, even in the dark, you know, kind of context of the music.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, like, as a kid, like, I was always into Christmas in a big way, you know, real over-the-top way as a little kid. But eventually, you know, the only real tradition that my family had was wondering how much of a bad drunk my dad would be coming home on the last work day before Christmas. You know, that was the true meaning of Christmas to me, Charlie Brown. And, you know, your songs, even at the darkest, they're funny in some twisted way. Plus, they let folks know that maybe they're not really alone in their Yuletide misery.
I think that's true. And, you know, we don't set out each year. Lance and I don't have a Google Doc of super really sad bummer topics to try to cover in Christmas music. It's kind of what comes out. You know, a lot of the songs, Lance and I get together and we spend most of the time cracking jokes and laughing, not about, you know, the songs that we're making, but, you know, we're both happy-go-lucky gentlemen. But I think that when we look at Christmas music or when we approach Christmas music, we're not trying to, like, undo Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas, which is a song that I love. We're not trying to undo Mariah Carey. I think that what we try to do is just, you know, any song can be a Christmas song. You don't have to sit down to write a Christmas song and grab sleigh bells and a xylophone and a nylon string guitar, and all of a sudden you got a Christmas song. I think Christmas is different for everyone. It's not a full, you know, good cheer, happy-go-lucky situation. And I think that Lance and I both have always gravitated and made music that's, you know, on the sadder end of the spectrum. And so then naturally when we started writing Christmas songs, we're not going to change the tone of the music that we make together. So we're making the music that we've always made together. It's just we have the theme of Christmas to work off of.
I don't know, Mike. Half of our songs have nylon string guitar and sleigh bells. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, but this year we have an Alpha Juno.
We do have an Alpha Juno. The trombone.
Yeah, that's maybe the most musical of all your songs this year.
It might be.
Yeah. Now,
I think we're real proud of this year's outing. And I think that it is certainly, like, in some ways it's funny because I think that the lyrics are among the bleakest or the most, like, sort of, like, I mean, this, because there are, like, a number of songs where the lyrics are quite hopeful, or it's like, you know, I really would like, a couple years ago, there's, like, the guy singing about, you know, just wanting to not have the person he's dating not break up with him before Christmas because you just don't want to spend the holidays alone or whatever. But this one is, like, it's pretty, like, I just straight up forgot Christmas, which is kind of harsh. And I love how it just breaks into this, like, kind of beautiful, like, stereotypical Christmas reprise.
Yeah, I was, I didn't even tell Lance this, but I was kind of considering pulling the plug on this year a couple weeks or a couple days before we put the song out, because I was like, is this too much? But then I kind of workshopped it with some friends, and I was like, no, this feels okay. There's kind of a rejoiceful end, because there's always every single year there's going to be Christmas. So there's always Christmas next year. Even if you didn't get everything you wanted this year, if it didn't turn out how you wanted, there's always next year.
Yeah. And it's frankly kind of real. And I mean, like, I've had some rough Christmases in my lifetime, and I think there is something that is empowering and sort of affirming about, like, recalling or recollecting or being like, yeah, that was true for me for a Christmas, or that was true for me for a Christmas, or even if it feels, you know, I think there's a part of it where it's like, it's kind of like letting the gas out of the, like, Christmas baggage for people.
Yeah. So, Lance, would you work with anything that Mike gave you, even if he went all happy and sincere all on you?
I probably would. I think that there was at least, you know, if you go back, I think three Christmases when Mike was in Turkey, the entire song was a nothing but a really kind of unabashed revelry in Christmas, because Mike was separated from family and loved ones and in a place that doesn't do kind of our, like, stereotypical Western Christmas. And now, give me all the Christmas that you've got, I feel like is like a really super classic Christmas song.
Like
that is about as over the middle of the plate as anything that we've done. And I love that one. Honestly, I love that one. I thought that was really successful.
Yeah, we opened the show with that one tonight.
Oh, no way.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That just gave me chills thinking about that. That was, yeah, I love that one too. It's weird, you know, it's weird to say, hey, I love that song that I wrote. And I love that song that Lance and I, you know, worked on together and put out. But that one in particular is probably, it's a Christmas song for our Christmas band that we'd love to have a lot of fun with. But that's also like one of the most honest songs that I've ever written. And I think that allowed us to kind of turn a corner musically with this band, and just like, we can be honest and we can put biographical elements into our songs, even if they're Christmas songs. So I love that you played that on the radio for the entirety of Canada to hear. Thank you very much. And also, thank you, Canada.
thanks a lot this is honestly, this is super exciting for us, because we've been pulling it away, you know, and, you know, we make one, maybe two songs a year. And it's funny to have people suddenly start listening to it, and it feels like this year, last year, and this year, like, suddenly, like, oh yeah, there's more audience and more plays and more, like, I think we probably will have to play live at some point. We were talking about maybe we ought to come up to Winnipeg and play.
Hey, I got the perfect living room for you. We call it the Stew Dome.
And there we go.
We just had our first indoor show a couple of weeks ago, the first indoor show in 2 years. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Really? So we'll have you any day of the week, for sure. And even any season.
We can figure it out. We'd love to come up maybe next year or whenever it is that it's, like, you know, somewhat normative to be able to travel.
Yeah. We could do Christmas in July, I think, you know?
Sure.
Although y'all are used to the weather, so that's good.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we'd be fine in the winter.
So
I scraped my car before doing groceries earlier this evening. We're all living the same life up here.
Yeah. So your first release, it came out in 2014. That was the only one that exists as a hard copy thing. But there's talk. There seems to be a bit of rumors going on about a full release of some kind in the future. Are there any actual details to share? Or are those just rumors?
This is our eighth year. We did put out a 7-inch, a little like lathe cut. It was the shape was square, if I'm not mistaken, which is not, that was pretty non-traditional. But it was like a square 7-inch, our first release. And I think that we were going to try to do those each year, but it's time consuming and it's cost effective against a band that has literally no income or revenue coming in from being a band. But, I think we are finally approaching like a full album's worth of music, and we're also approaching 10 years of being a band. So Lance and I, while we were recording this year's song a few weeks ago, we're laying out plans for not this next year, not 2022, which would be our, you know, 9 year, but for the 10th year, we would do a full record of all the songs that we've released, plus a couple of new ones as well.
Nice. Well, something to look forward to.
You know, I figure we have to have it all in the can about a year out, so sure. It's like trying to get all of the material finished off by this summer, I think, is the gist of it.
Yeah. Taylor Swift kind of re-recording her back catalog and then selling all her vinyl records through Target doesn't really help with the vinyl production delays. But we're kind of attached to vinyl. That's kind of how Lance and I consume most of our music. So whether vinyl is still a thing in 2 years, and whether people have appetite for 6 minute long super sad Christmas songs, or if they're only listening to 30-second songs on TikTok, we don't care. We're gonna put out a 10th anniversary record in a couple years.
Nice. You know, there's a band up here in Canada. They're called Arkells, and they put out a Christmas single this year on vinyl. And just like yours, it was a hand pressed, lathe cut thing, and they actually made 500 copies of the thing. It was made by one woman. It took her 3 weeks of solid work to do it.
It takes as long as it takes to record. Each one takes as long as it takes to play it, right?
Yeah, well, like, she had to listen to these two songs 500 times.
That's
horrific. Like, you guys could write a song about that.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone, even if it's the greatest song in the world. Brooks and Dunn, Neon Moon. Yeah. I still don't want to listen to that 500 times in a row.
That's a great postmodern concept, though, for an ornament song, which is a song about a person whose Christmas is ruined by having to listen to an ornament song 500 times in a row.
Oh, wow, it's so meta.
There you go.
Well, yeah, Lance and I got to get to work now.
Yeah. Well, that, and I'm waiting for the Hallmark movie adaptation of Married and Joseph. I think that's got to happen.
I don't know if they could play that on the Hallmark channel. I think they'd have to blur some stuff out.
And you know, most Hallmark,
we'd have to get Bobcat Goldthwait or somebody to play the protagonist.
Well, you know, most of those Hallmark movies are actually filmed in Winnipeg, believe it or not.
Is that true?
There's a good chunk of them for sure. Yep. Yeah, we turn the TV on and say, and just, you know, spot the location. It's a hoot.
That is funny. I knew that Toronto was a kind of a film hub, but I didn't realize that Winnipeg.
Yeah, well, we're like, you know, the D-list of Canadian cities to do it, but that's perfect for Hallmark.
Yeah. It's also perfect for the ornaments.
There you go. Well, thanks so much. You know, I got one final question for you. None of your songs end with a jingle bells coda. Why not?
Because our first song out the gate opened with one.
Ooh.
Is that true?
Santa's Existential Crisis opens with a jingle bell coda. So you raise a good point, Stu. maybe we have to work a jingle bells little thing into the final song that will become the vinyl. I don't know.
It's the fade out. Maybe it's the fade out on the vinyl release. Will be a jingle bells.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring that up because I was just starting to notice that this year as somebody who listens to a lot of main. I go and get groceries and whatnot with the all Christmas music all the time radio station on, and so many of them have that, and I just wonder how that's like. How is that possible legally? You know, who's got the rights to that song?
Oh, good point. Yeah. Although maybe
that I have in the car that I don't look up because I don't text and drive. Or, yeah.
As long as you don't sing Happy Birthday, you're cool.
Yeah.
You get sued for that one.
Especially Happy Birthday, Jesus. Then you're in big trouble.
Then you're really super, super in trouble.
That's rough water.
Well, thanks so much for spending some of your Christmas season with me here, you guys.
Thanks a lot for having us. We'll see if we can't muster up one of those acetates to send your way. I'm sure.
Oh, gosh, that would be a Christmas miracle to end all Christmas miracles.
It won't be there by Christmas, but I could probably figure out. We'll get your mailing info offline.
All right. Well, you know, John Prine kept a Christmas tree up all year long, and us at the Studome, we got this garland, this lit-up garland that stays around all along, so... So, yeah, any time of year is great for Christmas.
That's wonderful. Thanks for having us on. This was super informational. We just we're happy that anyone listens or anyone cares, even if it was just one or two people. So this was cool. Thanks for having us on the show. And also, I looked at the playlist from last week, and you played most of our songs, which was wild. So we appreciate it.
Not a problem. Yeah, we're going to play again the brand new one, Crying, coming up in this next set, just as soon as we hear a little classic from Red Sovine.
Nice. That's an honor to be played together.
All right. Well, thanks so much again, you guys. And let's stay in touch and make something happen someday. It'll be
let's do it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Ho ho ho.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Well, here it is, Christmas.